Welcome to Circulus Pack Tactics, a homebrew 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons campaign setting. I am your host for the day, my name is Crash, and I got a shave and a haircut. It cost a lot more than 2 bits. I feel like I should sue someone for false advertising, but the person who wrote that song died a very long time ago. Well, that escalated quickly. Alright, well, never mind. I am joined today by some fantastic people, including Ellie, Jen, and Io. And Chris is out doing holiday things, so he will not, unfortunately, be able to be with us tonight. So, to backtrack. Our merry band of adventurers, including both campaigns, managed to find and befriend, intentional question mark, some bullywugs who gave the party a place to spend the night. And a good time was had by all. Daldane discovered that certain prestidigitation tricks are not appreciated by bullywugs. Otherwise... I'm sorry?
I said, oh no.
Yeah, there were not any immediate attacks against Daldane's person. For the prestidigitation of a raven feather. But the bullywugs apparently had been recently saved by a servant of the Raven Queen. And the plot point was brought up that a significant number of party members in the main campaign owe the Raven Queen a favor. Daldane was apparently quite happy that Daldane is not in that number, but that's a side story. Upon exiting the Bullywug hiding place the next morning, a certain set of orc footprints was found that was not like the others, and that it looked like that particular orc had discovered the bullywug lair but had not done anything about it and then gone off solo. Using Vex's tracking abilities, the party followed to a spot where the footprints disappeared, and of course that's where you were ambushed. Said orc was a spellcaster of no small ability. Their opening salvo, they did try to banish the wizard of the other campaign, Ari. That didn't go so well, so they decided Plan B was a page out of Zeely's book. They set everything on fire. Yes, there was a wall of fire, and I, as the DM, and this is not an in-game mechanic, this is me, the DM, Crash, Aaron, was quite pleased with starting every player's turn by saying, player name, you are currently on fire. And then they got to decide what to do after that. Yes.
I would be alarmed by a game where the DM is pleased is actually a player, a game mechanic.
I wonder what that would bestow upon one of the DM's NPCs or something.
So much of fate is done by the participants in the game as opposed to the rules that are dictated in the Fate Core rulebook, that we can make that be a thing.
Interesting.
So, yes. Mm-hmm. So the orc that you were fighting, when Sox did a significant amount of damage to it, like the orc wasn't really like looking like it was bleeding from any of the wounds that were inflicted upon it, even the ones that really should have been cutting it to ribbons. But at a certain point in the battle, when Sox did a lot of damage to her, she did have a small, like, single drop of blood come out of the corner of her mouth in stereotypical fashion, and her eyes briefly changed to reptilian eyes and then back to more regular humanoid eyes. And Chris, the player, immediately freaked out, because he made a certain conclusion from that. And next turn, Meepo cast Banishment. It appeared to work, and then it didn't. Then it was that orc spellcaster's turn. She said, little one, if you didn't want me to be here, you just had to let me know. And then she vanished.
And Meepo freaked out. Freaked out. Mm-hmm.
And Zeely's still freaking out because of the D83 incident.
Yeah. And Meepo freaked out because she thought maybe she'd banished her the god she was following and just didn't think that was a good idea, so she was freaking out for a while.
Well, and the game ended last Saturday with Ari having a conversation with the magical amulet, which the party refers to as Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And the words, "I love Satan," were uttered by a member of the party. And that's not something I expected to ever hear said outside of a Dungeons & Dragons game in the 80s. In a chick tract.
Oh, God.
But never mind about that.
And then didn't Gox have some wings for a while that he is unaware of?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that is a thing that occurred when Gox was hitting the orc spellcaster really hard. For a brief moment, there were some spectral dragon-like wings that appeared out of Gox's back. And everyone knows... Sorry? No. It wasn't Daldane's fault. Not this time.
Nope.
Ari didn't see it because there was a wall of fire between him and the rest of the party. Mm-hmm. Everyone else moved forward through the flames. He backed up. Well, that's not true. Jen E also backed through the flames. So they sat back there cooling off while the rest of the fight happened. But the wall of flames is gone. Now there's just regular fire.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no. No, because Zili put it out.
Right.
Zili put it out. And we are at the point where I stop recapping what has happened and you tell me what's going to happen.
All right.
I remember something about Zili trying to pull Meepo away for sorcerer talk.
I think so. I don't know if we got to it, but I don't remember.
I think it was something where you said that's what you were going to do, but not that you were actively doing it. It could be both.
Okay.
I'll let you decide.
So, Meepo, yes.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk. Come on, okay, over here, okay. Away from everybody else.
Oh, okay. What are we talking about?
All right, we've both been doing magic that had a really weird result just recently.
Yeah.
And, okay, they were very different, very weird results, but I'm a little bit worried about...
Is this about the fireball?
Also about the banishment thing, but yeah. Namely, that wasn't a fireball.
Oh. So...
That was a perfectly regular, normal chromatic orb until it wasn't, and that wasn't me.
Oh, well.
I mean, I'm good. Go ahead. I'm very good, but I'm not... I don't... My chromatic orbs don't turn into fireballs, usually.
Well, maybe it's from, like, some of my friends. They worship a god that helps them. So, could that... Do you follow some god that would give you a giant chromatic orb with a lot of power?
I told you about the mountain core, right? The big...
Oh, yeah.
Red dragon down in the center of the... But, so... Maybe. I don't think that's a god, and I don't think they're here.
Well, maybe this area is the problem. Maybe there's something weird with this spot that we're on. Or this island. It could be the island's the problem.
Maybe. Anyway, so... And your banishment did,
Well, it worked for a minute. Well, not even a minute. It worked for a little bit, and then it didn't work. And the orc lady was back. And I don't know if maybe that was the god I worship that I tried to banish. And that's kind of a problem if it is. But, I don't know. It was kind of weird.
To recap that, because Meepo did score a high enough arcana check when it happened...
Oh,
your sense. I'm doing a yes and here. You're pretty much right.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Meepo's understanding was the spell did work, and then they decided it shouldn't work, so they stopped it from working.
Okay.
There are certain creatures that exist, and including dragons, but not limited to dragons, where mechanics wise. So many times per day, if they fail a saving throw, they can just say, nah, I'm going to take that saving throw anyway.
Okay. But Meepo wouldn't know all of that, so...
She would know that some powerful creatures can just weather a spell even if they shouldn't be able to.
Okay, so that would explain why she thinks maybe, okay, if powerful creatures can do this and it's calling me, you know, it's talking to me, it's telling me, oh, child, you should just said you wanted me to leave. She thinks that's because of that, because of the nightmare, that episode.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so she thinks that could be what happened. So now she's just all kinds of unsure.
Okay, I am not trying to dictate what Meepo does with this information. I'm just reminding what Meepo discerned with that higher kana check last round. Well, last session.
Okay.
But the rest of it's up to you.
Yeah. So she's kind of not sure. Like, she's not 100% convinced that was, you know, but she's not sure. So she's kind of just as unsure about magic right now as Zelia is in some ways.
Well, we'll just have to figure this out and complete our mission anyway. Yes?
Yes, we can do that.
Excellent.
Okay, good talk.
Okay. While you're having that talk, like maybe close to the end of that talk so that there isn't a whole lot of overlap time-wise with the wibbly-wobbly nature of it, Vex looks puzzled for a little bit and he says, Idris has sent me a message.
How?
Well, you do know how, because that is a spell that Sox has used.
Oh, right. Okay. Meepo might... She's a little flustered at the moment, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
The concern from Vex is not that the message was sent. Idris is a very powerful spellcaster. Possibly the most powerful wizard that you have ever met. Is the most powerful wizard that you have ever met. Marwood may have been more powerful, although he wasn't quite right in the head. Mm. But the message was sent to Vex, not Ari, which is a little weird. But the message was pretty much, are you safe? Are you alive? Timetable had to be moved up. We're at the island now.
Well, we're all still alive, I think. Meepo starts like counting off people, and I think so.
Well, I
don't know,
I suddenly become undead, so I'd say I'm still alive.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Okay, and the other party starts discussing exactly what message they should be sending back. There is some frantic scribbling and word counting, and then rewriting, and it's kind of like they're crafting the finest of tweets. Like, no, but if you take out this word here, you have enough for the URL. Don't forget to mention your SoundCloud. I think that's the thing you're supposed to do. but during this conversation, the remark is also made that perhaps you should try to find some high ground to see if you can see any type of invasion from here.
Well, Daldane could use her magical music and cast fly on one of us.
That's true.
At the mention of high ground, Gen E immediately started flapping their wings in an attempt to go up, but the wings are, to say they were vestigial would be to demean the word vestigial. There were wings there. Oh. They have been broken off. There's a few feathers remaining. They are poised like they are trying to take off, but nothing's happening.
We ought to try to fix those sometime.
Also, I volunteer to be the one who flies because, yes.
Okay.
Then I will cast Fly on Zili.
Wonderful. Zili, the trees here that have not been rendered asunder during the combat and fire that occurred are about 40 feet tall. How high do you want to fly?
I want to fly until I can see above them.
Okay. So like 45 feet.
Yeah.
Okay. You see a sea of treetops in a canopy that extends for miles and miles and miles. It would be a spectacular sight that would perhaps be a little disturbing to most kobolds because, you know, the whole sunlight thing. But you do have a makeshift bark hat that is shielding your eyes. And also the realization that the sun is actually a giant ball of fire may or may not be comforting to you in some way, shape, or form. To the east, there is a solitary mountain separate from a mountain range that is to the north of you that it looks dark and foreboding, and the forest ends, well, jungle rather, ends several miles before the mountain starts. There is smoke and darkness in that area, like what you would see if, say, a very large collection of orc tribes and clans were gathering together to create some type of invasion force. Picture, if you will, any scene from Lord of the Rings of similar nature. That's what you've got there.
All right, Zaylee, yeah, sort of shoops back down. Doesn't land.
I haven't finished what you're seeing.
Oh, okay, sorry.
There is more. Oh, there is so much more. To the south is something that you have never seen, and something you have seen before. Off in the distance, actually, roll a perception check. Let's see exactly how much of this you can see.
Oh dear, asking Zaylee to be perceptive always. One moment. I think she has a +1, but I'm never sure.
For Zaylee, that's +1 initiative. Perception is +1. Yes.
Oh.
Nat 20, you see everything. You are pretty sure that you see a mosquito landing on a sheep back in Coomridge. You bet on that sheep during one of the kobold races. Yes, thank you, Ellie. Thank you. brown kobold, what do you see? Zaylee flew over the mountain to see what she could see. And what she saw was a flying city. The same flying city that everyone in this party is aware of and has been to before. From this distance, you can't see much different. You recognize Serene, the flying city, built by mostly gnomes. But it is very far off in the distance. In front of it is a fleet. Is it right to call up a fleet? Because, like, if it's boats, it's a fleet. But these aren't boats. They're dirigibles. They're zeppelins. And they have to be incredibly large to see them from this distance. So they are incredibly large. Large enough and enough of them that they could very well be transporting an army. And they probably are. And they are heading north. Your best guess is towards the mountain to the west of you. It's quite awe-inspiring. And there is even one smaller zeppelin, a dirigible, if you will, that appears to be made of adamantine. That is, since it's smaller, it's more agile and able to maneuver a bit better. It is zipping back and forth amongst these larger zeppelins, the same way that a general on a horse would ride back and forth in front of an army to rally the troops. I cannot accurately explain how awe-inspiring that sight is, especially to someone whose dream it is to fly.
Wow.
And then the mountain lifts off. Well, not the whole mountain, the top of it. The top of it was actually the folded wings of a very, very large dragon that was just perched on top of the mountain.
Big.
And ancient dragons are gargantuan in size. This is bigger than that. And it flies with incredible speed. You are actually moved a few feet back, as far away as you are, from the gust of wind that goes towards you. All of the trees around you, the tops of them move away from this dragon as it flies south from the breeze that blows up. You're fairly certain you hear the sound of trees crashing down in its wake underneath it. And the large portion of the blimps in this invading army just aren't there anymore.
So, that's a god dragon, huh? Wow.
It lands on part of the city. And the city tilts. You're fairly certain you see part of it, part of the city, come off underneath this dragon and start to fall to the ground. There is smoke. There are clearly defenders on the city that are attempting to fight back. You see the little puffs of fireballs hitting it. You see the bright lines of lightning striking it. The dragon seems unfazed. It lifts off again, and you see the city still slowly descending. And you imagine at this distance, it only looks like it's descending slowly because it has a very long way to go.
Wow. Fine. So, if those spells weren't working, we'll have to figure something out anyway. Because I am not giving up.
And then, the last part of this scene, that little adamantine dirigible that I told you about?
Yes.
You still see it. It turns towards the dragon. There is a blur. It becomes a line. Give me a dexterity saving throw.
Okay. Dexterity saving throw. Let me see what that would be. Another nat 20?
Wow.
Okay. There is an explosion that you all hear. Zili is able to shield her eyes in just the right amount of time to keep from getting the blinded debuff. So you luck out. But after that bright flash, the dragon isn't there anymore. And neither is the dirigible.
Well, I guess crashing a dirigible into a god is a thing that someone just did.
It's such a shame that Chris is not here because he would know exactly what just happened. And he might be.
And that's our game for the week. Thanks for listening.
Zili,
yes.
floats back down. So, well, the Flying City came with an army, and now a lot of the army is gone, and so is some of the Flying City. And an adamantine dirigible crashed into the dragon god, and there was a bright flash, and they both disappeared. Who knows where they went? I do not.
As soon as you say that, you hear a giant roar.
Somewhere loud. And
the dragon went somewhere loud.
Well, wherever the dragon went became loud.
What color was the dragon?
Green.
Green.
Uh-oh. Okay.
And also, yes, the orc army is totally massing about the mountain.
How far away is the dragon now?
Several days' journey through this jungle.
Okay.
If you're not flying the whole way.
Mm. Which I don't think the whole party could do.
No. It is worth noting that while the kobolds, other than Meepo, that are here, spent time on the Flying City and then left that to go to Coomridge, not all the kobolds that were on the Flying City chose to leave. Some did choose to remain, so you know there were kobolds there.
And, well, the spells that were being cast off the Flying City didn't seem to be working very well, but we'll figure something out. Because we are not giving up. I refuse to believe that we should give up. We will find some way to deal with this situation, no matter what.
Okay.
Gox holds up his battle axe, says, "Okay, let's go fight a dragon."
Well, that's a very good question. Without trying to do character voices for the party members that are not here, I will say that the discussion leads towards, well, if the dragon has been weakened by this attack, this would be the time you try to track it down, but can you get there in time? But you also have a mission to go to where the orcs are to try to take out their leader. So you, it's a choose your own adventure. What are your options going to be? Are you going to try to get to the dragon? Are you going to try to get to the orcs? Are you going to split up and do both? Because splitting the party never goes poorly.
Oh, no. Never. Never, never.
Although technically you're already two parties.
True.
The orcs are a red herring. But the dragon being weakened right now, that might be a red herring too. The dragon is a god because the dragon has the extremely important magical artifacts that make things gods. We need to figure out where those are. It might be with the dragon, but before we do anything else, we need to find out where those are.
I am unsure of how the dragon is actually a type of fish, and I was under the impression that it was green.
Metaphor. It's a metaphor.
What is a metaphor?
It's when you...
What is its use?
It's like...
It's to convey a complex concept with a phrase that isn't literally applicable, but it means a particular thing.
It's like a pretty way of talking.
Oh, like singing.
Kinda.
Red herring in this context means it's a distraction, it's a misdirection, it's something we're supposed to be chasing and that won't lead us where we need to go.
So you are arguing over or discussing what your true purpose is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Ah, I have much experience in this. I have been avoiding my true purpose for my entirety on this world.
What is your true purpose?
To serve the will of Primus. I am unable to do this due to my speech impediment. If I attempt to rejoin my Modron brethren, I will be disabled. I do not wish to.
Well, then
to
you're
be
going
disabled.
To have to make your own purpose, then, aren't you? We're going to make a new purpose.
What if your purpose was your speech impediment so you could come help us and save the world? Maybe that's what Primus wants. I don't know Primus, but maybe.
That would be an interesting thought. I do hope I find the purpose soon. My existence is preventing an additional monodrone from being created on the assembly line. There is only a finite number of Modrons at any point.
Well, come with us, like you've been doing, and we'll see what happens.
Right. So which way?
Hey, Daldane, could you turn me into a dragon? If we're going to fight a dragon?
Mobile?
And if it works, would I be able to fly?
Probably.
So if you turn me into a dragon... And I could fly. Could I pick up everybody and just, like, move us all somewhere? I wonder if that would work.
I don't know.
Mechanics-wise, can you only turn them into beasts?
Gox doesn't know.
Well, Gox doesn't know. That's correct. This is the DM asking.
Right.
Because I'm pretty sure Polymorph has certain limitations, and it's not just...
All he knows is... He's been a T-Rex, so why not a dragon?
I am not trying to override any of the RP that's happening right now. I am thinking ahead as to...
I understand.
This is an interesting plan. Would it work?
Yeah. No, I get you're not overriding it, but just...
You know...
The new form can be any beast.
A flying creature of some kind would be an excellent idea.
It would have to be a beast.
Not necessarily a dragon, but some sort of large avian or... One moment, I'm rolling a nature check to see how much Seely knows about things.
Come on, third natural 20 of the evening.
Let's see how that goes.
Seely does not know much about the animals that do not live underground.
Okay.
Other flying fauna?
Are there, like, T-Rexes that fly? Or something like that?
I think those are dragons.
Oh, okay.
No, dragons have bigger arms.
Good point.
Just assume that any wisecrack I make is said by one of the party members that isn't here.
Right.
You can all assign it as you will. If I make something incredibly grumpy and pessimistic, assume Ponk appears for one round and disappears again.
Disappears again. Yeah. Because if we're supposed to go to higher ground and we got to go fast, if I could, like, fly everybody there, that'd be fast.
Well, the higher ground was to see what was going on. And
yeah, but Gox doesn't discovered it. Okay. He doesn't quite understand. He's like, aren't we supposed to go there?
Well, so far as the party understood, you were 5 days hike through the jungle to get to the area where the orc fortress is that houses the leader, where the leader is currently pretty much hiding because no one's seen them outside of the fortress. They don't leave from the front. You've been on this quest for 4.5 days.
Okay.
So day 5 is when you're supposed to get there. You've got roughly a day's journey, including a long rest, until you get to that spot. Now, that's assuming that you can keep traveling at the same speed, because once you get to the edge of that jungle, all bets are off as to what you can do. Maybe your speed will increase 1,000-fold, but going backwards because you find out that the army's there waiting for you. You don't know.
That's true.
But you're going to have to pick a decision. You're going to make a decision which way you go.
I vote we go to the mountain, but not necessarily for the army. I want to know what the dragon keeps in the lair. And I want to do that, if possible, while the dragon is occupied outside elsewhere.
I'm laughing at the text, sorry.
Ellie, the answer to your question is a ring.
So Meepo is kind of intrigued by the thought of what shinies the dragon might have. And,
There is some discussion in the party about how going someplace the dragon is not currently does sound like a sound plan.
Okay.
However, there is also the counter argument of a place the dragon isn't, but place dragon will be going back to.
Well, look at it this way. We came here knowing we were opposing a dragon god. Opposing a dragon god is kind of part of the mission.
I don't know. A dragon god might not be really happy with me.
Do we know that it's a dragon god? And not just a really big dragon?
I'm guessing it is, but I don't really know.
It's either a god or, you know, kind of indistinguishable from one.
It's like sufficiently advanced technology and magic. They're indistinguishable.
Well, we know it's a big dragon.
I'm just saying, we don't know that it has the gem things yet. Maybe that's just the sort of thing it can do.
That could be.
Well, either way.
Either way, we'll probably want to go to its lair while it's not there.
Right. And Meepo?
Uh-huh?
You are more than the god you worship or don't worship, or it doesn't matter, because you're Meepo, you're a sorcerer, you make the fundamental forces of reality sit down and shut up a few times a day, and that's going to have to be enough, because we're kobolds, we're small, and we're sneaky, and we're going to go in there, and we're going to save the world when nobody would have expected we could.
Let's go do it.
Okay.
All right, we're going to fight a dragon. Gox really wants to fight a dragon.
And lots of orcs.
Yeah.
Imagine, if you will, that Sox has a totally different level of enthusiasm compared to Gox.
Of course.
The more Gox appears to swell up with pride and eagerness, Sox sort of just kinds to shrink in on himself.
Yeah.
I'm trying to stay true to the character.
Yeah, he wouldn't be ready to go fight a dragon. It's true.
No, it's not really on his list of things to do today.
Yeah, exactly.
So I take it from the rousing speech and everything, you are going towards the dragon's lair or no?
Yep, I think so. We don't know what the rest of the party that are not kobolds wants to do.
Who cares about them? They're not here. I care about the small patrol.
Okay. Well, I think we just voted dragon, I think.
Okay. Then sucks to be them if that's not what they wanted to do.
The kobolds want to take on a dragon.
They can know we decide that they decided something else and split up from us here.
Oh, no. Yeah. Then I'll have two separate campaigns.
Right.
And I won't have games with 10 characters doing a single round of combat for an hour and a half. Oh, no. Please. Please, no, don't split the parties up again.
Yeah. If they split, though, Meepo's going with the kobolds.
Oh.
Oh.
That'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of interesting, just so you know, my Wednesday game that I run with my middle school students, they were on one of those blimps.
Oh, no.
Yes. What you just saw happened in my Wednesday game this week.
Wow.
Yeah.
They were the ones who crashed a blimp into a dragon, weren't they?
No.
No. Okay.
No. The one who was steering that dirigible, there's only one person who would ever steer that dirigible.
Mm-hmm.
And that character used to be Chris's before he gave it to me. Yeah.
Yep.
I can't wait till he finds out about this. Because there are implications, and there's things where he and I are going to have to discuss something when we're not streaming, and there are no prying ears. But never mind about that. So,
I assumed it might be Punk.
No.
Just because he's a barbarian, he would rage, and then he would try to get two attacks out of ramming the dirigible into the.
Okay, that could work. That could actually work.
Oh my gosh. You know what? As a DM, I'd probably allow it. But no, Galen the gnome bard is the one who made the adamantine dirigible, because the whole thing was a pun on Led Zeppelin, adamantine dirigible.
Right, uh-huh. Right.
So, yes. All right. So you continue to head off in the direction that you were going in anyway, after a long discussion about whether or not you should do that.
Mm-hmm.
And hold on a second. There we go. And as you continue, a couple things. First of all, this area that you're in is an area that Vex scouted out last time he was on this island. And he notes that there have been significant changes. The closer you get to the orcs' encampment, if encampment's the right word, the orc zone or whatever. There is some discussion about what to call it. There are some incredibly bad puns that are used in the process. Some people end up breaking friendships with others. but the trees are thinning. There's a lot of stumps here that look freshly cut, as if people were coming in and harvesting this area for wood. There's a lot less wildlife in this area. You have not seen any dinosaurs. Like, you would usually see one or two large herbivores per day. You don't see any signs that any of them have been in this area, but you see a lot more booted footprints that could be orcish. A lot of Tyrannosaurus footprints, which you're not too surprised by that whatsoever. A fog does roll in. In mid-afternoon, to the point where if any of you is steps like 15 feet away from the rest of the party, it's hard to see them at all, which is making the terrain much more difficult to travel than you would have expected otherwise. In addition to, there seems to be more thorn bushes and stuff growing up in places, and the area is becoming almost maze-like. Everyone roll a d20 for me and just tell me the number.
Okay.
14.
Okay, Gox has a 9, I think.
15.
Yeah, that's a 9. And Meepo has... That hit my keyboard. Meepo has an 18.
Okay, I got Meepa's 18. What was Gox's?
9.
Okay. I'm going to save the other things for the people who aren't here for the next time they're here.
Okay.
So, Daldane, you begin to hear a voice.
Okay.
I know a song that gets on everybody's nerves. I know a song that gets on everybody's nerves. I know a song that gets on everybody's nerves, and this is how it goes. And then it repeats.
Huh. Does anyone else hear that?
Hear what?
Hear what?
I guess not.
Okay, now you're hearing things. Because everything's on the fritz. Messed up. What's going on?
Okay. Zeely. No one hears Zeely say that.
Hello?
Zeely.
Ahem. Is anyone hearing my voice here?
Zeely.
Oh.
Let's take a 5-minute break.
Wow. Okay.
I doubt I can be ready for whatever this is, but I am here for it.
I love that I got that on audio. That should be the opening statement for each campaign, really. That said, Meepo, you start hearing the I Know a Song That Gets on Everyone's Nerves as well.
So I start singing it back to whoever is producing that noise.
It becomes very obvious as you begin to sing a duet and it shifts into a round that you are singing with Jen E.
Oh.
Let's see. So Meepo and Daldane got the highest 2 rolls, so that's what they are doing right now. Zeely got under 15 on their roll. And you
so
heard...
did Gox.
Yes, well, we'll get to Gox.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. Gox, we'll get to Gox. Mm-hmm. Zeely heard her name. And it was very clear that she didn't hear someone nearby saying it. When she hears her name, it fills her head. It is in her mind.
Right, then. Yes, that would be me. And I have a couple guesses of who you are, but I don't think it's wise.
You know my name. You have served me for years. I call upon you again.
Great Mountain Core.
Yes. You will serve me as I serve Tiamat. I am great and powerful, and you have grown to be so as well. Greatest of my servants, there is one who has decided to oppose Tiamat, to claim godhood herself.
Right.
Tiamat is angered by this. She demands justice.
I see. Great Mountain Core. Always and ever, my clan has served you. I do not know if I am the last, but of course I will do as you say.
You face Malathomax, an ancient green. You have seen recently. It is within your power to kill her. Do not, in her arrogance, Malathomax has ceased to be bound to the material plane. She has become like a god or a demon. When you face her, when she is weakened, banish her. She will appear before Tiamat. Then Tiamat will seek her own justice. Do you understand?
Of course, Great Mountain Core. I understand.
Go then. Be great and terrifying.
Yes.
In my name.
In your name.
This voice fades from your mind and you become very, very much aware that there is now a duet singing one of the most annoying songs ever created.
And Daldan is playing along.
What? I'm not going to ask why everyone's singing.
Ours is not to wonder why. Ours is just to try as much as we can to get that song out of our heads. By the way,
I should ask, considering the bard, is this a magic song?
No, just a fun one.
by the way, it's a shame. It is a total shame that anyone listening to this after the fact cannot truly embrace the joy that it is to have Ellie able to post things in chat. They will simply have to follow Ellie on social media. Oh, I believe her username is... Oh, you know what? I always use autocomplete.
It's just Noel.
Okay. Links in the show notes. Ellie is awesome. All right, Gox.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear any voices. There's no dragon god talking to you and commanding you to kill an ancient green dragon. More's the pity.
Okay.
Because you'd probably totally be down for that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you do see things.
Okay.
They come and go. Give me an insight check.
Okay. Rolled a 20. And insight is a plus 4.
Third natural 20 of the session. Mm-hmm. I am here for this content.
Yeah, okay. So it's a 20 and insight's a plus 4, but probably 20 is sufficient, I would think.
Okay, so I don't need to be too poetic with this. You are very much aware that what you're seeing are visions, that they are not real. But you see images of children, mostly orc children, some barbarian human children, but without getting too gruesome, they are at the bad end of things. You see elderly having the same treatment. You see able-bodied people being carried away. All this is being done by orcs, some of which are monstrous in appearance. You know that they are of orc stock, but something has changed in them, something foul. Something fiendish has occurred to them. They have spikes growing from their skin in various places. Many of them have horns. You're fairly sure orcs don't have horns. And all of this points towards where you have decided to go. And you understand that what this is saying is the best way you can protect the weak is to go stop what's happening.
Yeah. Okay, so I relay this as...
Not all the orcs, because they're doing this to other orcs, too.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, go ahead. I'm going to let you finish.
the ones that are doing most of this are the orcs that have spikes growing out of them. I'm done. You continue.
Okay. All right. So, I try to tell this to everybody else. I'm seeing a vision, and it's not here. It's not like real here, but it's real where we're going. And there's these orcs with spikes growing out of them, and they're slaughtering children and elderly. And we need to take them out. We got to do this before we get to the dragon's lair. We can't let them keep going. Okay, let's go kill some spiky orcs.
Tact orcs.
We need to strike while the dragon's wakened.
But we can't leave these people to be slaughtered. I'm here to protect the weak, and they are the weak. And their people can't help them. It's gotta be us. It's on the way, I think.
You're on your way to kill Dragonland, and wait, can we stop at Kill Orcland? It's on the way. I will turn this campaign right around.
I suppose we will be going through the orc army zone.
And we don't have to fight them all, because it's just these, like, spiky orcs that are doing this. I mean, we could fight the other orcs, but we really got to take out these.
Secondary objective, spiky orcs. Complete if we can.
Oh, wow. There is an image.
Don't thank me. Thank the talented artists that work for Wizards of the Coast.
Wow.
But you don't get any more information than that because Gox would Gox not doesn't know high it.
He doesn't know.
No.
Yep. Spiky orcs. All right. Let's go.
Okay. I'm checking my notes for something. Mm-hmm. All right. So you continue through.
I love how nobody questioned Zeely's sudden shift from don't attack the dragon yet, we need to figure out where the artifacts are, to we need to strike while the dragon is weakened.
Well, clearly in your travels, she had a moment of introspection where she realized that tactically speaking, it would be better to do one rather than the other.
Obviously.
Yeah, yes. That makes sense.
That well, Occam's razor, the simplest explanation is usually the correct one. The explanation of a dragon worshipped as a god from another material plane contacted you telepathically to give you orders from the demon queen of all evil dragons. You know, that's not the first conclusion one jumps to in most situations. Right. Just throwing that out there.
And no. Gox is never going to guess that. <You know? laughs> Nope.
Especially since Gox is, okay, Gox may not have guessed this, but as players we can guess this, acting on orders from Bahamut.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, he sort of joined that religion and believes he's here to protect the weak, and he always thought it was just the kobolds, but now he's seeing that it's more.
I love this campaign.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't pay attention to most of the sermons. He was distracted easily. Nah. But he got
was
the whole protect
kind of over his head. Yeah, protect the weak thing. He got that. He's like, right, that's for me. Okay.
Which is probably for the best, because every sermon that Fenix was involved in sort of deteriorated into talks about how to smash wagons, which Gox can do.
Uh-huh.
But there was no actual wagon smashing during the sermon, so
right, so it wasn't as interesting, but that's all he gets out of his religion is kind of that.
protect the weak, smash wagons.
Got it. Okay. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, somebody roll me a d20.
Oh, somebody's doing it. There you go.
Ah. 17.
Ooh, that is one that has not been rolled before
ever in history.
Of this campaign, yes. You know what helps? If I spell the name of the creature correctly.
So you can find it again? Or maybe you mean you're searching for it now and
I wasn't expecting that particular role. I had a bunch of other monsters queued up.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So the fog is starting to thin a little bit, along with the trees. You feel much more exposed the more the trees and the fog are thinning out. And I'm going to say that with the passive perception that several of the party members have, that there's no surprise at all whatsoever when a hulking, looming form comes towards you from straight ahead of you. It is vaguely humanoid in appearance, and that it does appear to have two arms and two legs. But its skin is stretched thin in a lot of places. It's got some tumorous growths, it looks like. It's got some pustules. It looks kind of like they've had a really bad life in general. And it is coming right towards you. In a lumbering, almost rolling gait.
Okay, so Gox would like to rage and get in front of the party with his battle axe and get ready to take this thing on.
Okay, it comes out of the fog, and I have another picture to share with you. I hope you're not eating.
Uh-oh. Wow.
Yeah, not the most pleasant experience.
I bet I can set that on fire.
Classic Zeely.
Mm-hmm.
It looks explosive.
It
honestly, it looks like it might explode without me doing anything.
Well, I am going to ask for initiative rolls.
Okay.
I have an 8.
Meepo has an 11. And Gox has an 18.
20, not plus natural. 2.
Yeah, he's got plus 2 to initiative, but he's got an 18 on the dice.
In that case, we have the same.
Yeah, and oh, Meepo's got actually a 12.
19 plus 1.
Okay, so I got Zeely at 20, Ellie at 8, and then I heard other numbers while I was writing those down.
Meepo's got 12, and Gox has 20, 18 on the dice, plus 2 initiative.
And Zeely, you've got plus 1 initiative?
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to say that as the tiebreaker, Gox goes first.
Okay.
Okay, so this thing is coming right at you. You're fairly certain that you're going to get, like, maybe Gox and Zeely can hit this thing before it gets a chance to do something, but no one else is going to.
Okay.
So, Gox, what would you like to do?
I'm going to hit it with my battle axe.
Okay.
And I've rolled a 13, and does it hit? I don't know what its armor class is, but then it's a 1d10 plus 3.
You hit it.
I hit it. Okay. Find my 10. Okay, 1d10 is a 2 plus 3, and then I get radiant damage, which is a d6, and that is a 4.
Okay, so 4 points of radiant plus how much?
Plus 5 points of hitting it with the battle axe.
Okay, well, don't forget your bonus to damage. Which is, if you're raging, I want to say it's plus 5. Let me look at your character sheet.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I think you're right. I forgot about that. What does it say? Plus
it
3.
It says plus 3, but you're so raging I've got... and it doesn't work that out. So it's actually plus 5.
Okay. So add that.
I will do so.
Okay.
Okay. So Gox rushes forward and slices through it with a battle axe, and some of the pustules break open, and there's like green ooze coming down, and it is thoroughly disgusting, even to a kobold. It is thoroughly disgusting.
Do I get a second attack?
You do have a second attack.
I do. Let's do it again. All right, rolling a 20. I've got a 9. Did I miss or did I hit?
Fun fact: you hit with a 9.
Okay, so then I get roll D10, and that is a 4 on the dice, and I know it's plus 3 damage from that.
No,
and then
five.
there's also
plus 5 damage.
Okay, because I'm seeing it says
1 plus 3
plus 3, and then if you look at raging, it also says plus 3, so I don't know how that works together.
It's plus, well, we can ask Chris the next time he's on to explain it.
Okay, sure. Yeah, just pick whatever and we'll stick with that.
If necessary, I would switch to playing Calvin Ball.
Would what? Sorry.
It's a reference to Calvin and Hobbes. Calvin Ball was a game where the main rule was you couldn't keep using the same rules. You had to change the rules each time.
Okay.
They changed during the game.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the total. And I lost track already.
I have marked off what you've done.
Okay.
I know what you've done. And we're all very proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
Zeely, you were remarking about how flammable this thing appears to be.
Oh, yes. Firebolt!
A 24 just nicks it. No, that's a hit. That's a hit. If Gox can hit with a 9, a 24 is going to hit.
Oh, yeah.
That was not what I meant to do.
No. You leave out the plus, so you roll 1d207.
I did.
And then I accept the damage and we're all good.
I just added too many pluses.
I know. It's all good. Okay, so
that is not a crit.
You got 2 crits this session already, so.
Yeah,
I'm doing good.
You're above average.
14 damage, except I think I add something, which I'm forgetting what I add because of its fire damage. 17 damage.
Okay. Ooh. Okay.
And I ignore resistance. Oh, it very much is not resistant, huh? It's the opposite of resistant.
It's flammable, yeah.
Well, it had less than 17 hit points remaining. So how do you want to do this?
Remember when I said it looks like it might explode if I set it on fire.
Mm-hmm. You want it to explode?
Looking at it, I don't think I can say anything, but all those gaseous-looking pustules, that gas catches on fire.
Okay. Everyone roll a constitution saving throw.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, Gox has, let's see, constitution. Okay, he's got 18 on the dice plus 2.
And my track record of rolling really well on constitution saves continues.
And Meepo has rolled a 16 on the dice plus 1.
Okay. And
I'm going to spend inspiration to get advantage on the roll.
Oh.
Everybody else is rolling well, so I'm glad I spent the inspiration.
Ooh. Ow. Yeah.
Wow.
A 9 and a 1. We're going to go with a 9, but I have bad news. It's still not a save.
Yeah.
Okay. So
y'all couldn't have rolled a little lower?
So here's what happens. Did you roll for Meepo?
Yeah, she got a 16 on the dice and constitution's plus 1. Gox got an 18 on the dice, I think, and his constitution is plus 2.
Meepo, Gox, and Zeely all take 7 points of damage.
Okay.
Poison damage.
Okay, 7.
Which, hold up. I got to look up something for Meepo.
Oh, okay.
Because Meepo's a green kobold.
Oh, right. She's green. Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
It's not just that she's green. It's that she has draconic heritage as a sorcerer, and the draconic heritage is green. So I think you've got something extra going on.
Okay. Let's see. Trying to look at the character sheet and see what I can find.
Features and traits. Draconic ancestor. You can speak reading draconic. That damage associated with each dragon is used by features that you gain later. Welcome to Looking Up Rules, where we look up rules.
Yeah. I don't know.
At some point, I think you're going to have resistance to poison.
Okay.
But right now, all I'm seeing is draconic resilience, which increases your max hit points and makes sure your armor class is 14.
Okay, so 7 points, was it?
But yeah, you're taking 7 points of poison damage.
Wait, okay. I know what this one is. I have it for fire, and it's...
Elemental Affinity.
When you cast a spell, yeah, Elemental Affinity.
Okay, that says for poison
when you cast a spell. You could spend a sorcery point to gain resistance to a type of damage, too, but it's 7 points of damage.
It's fine. Yeah.
Even for a sorcerer, since you're level 10, that's not too much.
Right, but she's...
But you're bloody.
Right, yeah, because we didn't have a long rest, so...
No, you did not.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so that happens to you. Daldane, you take 14 points of damage.
Okay.
And you also have the poisoned attribute now, which... means you're going to have disadvantage on attack rolls and ability checks until it wears off. You'll be able to repeat that save at the end of your turn with the effect ending on a success. And while poisoned, you cannot regain hit points.
Yay.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Like at all or just naturally?
According to the stat block for this creature, which you have just killed, which... Full disclosure, would have exploded anyway. It's what it does when it hits 0 hit points. But I appreciate the flare. If it poisons you, you don't regain hit points while you're poisoned. That's its job. All right. Meepo.
Mm-hmm.
Your turn.
Okay. So we saw this big creature, and now it's blown up. What else do I see?
Give me a perception check.
Ah, okay. 16 on the dice. Perception is plus 2.
That's sufficient.
Okay.
Roll a d4 for me.
Okay. I got a one.
Okay. This is where I try not to let the party realize that I left my dice on the other side of the room and I don't want to get up and get them. Oh, wait. Crud.
Uh-oh.
Whoops.
Uh-oh.
Okay. You do see a humanoid figure in the fog further back. They look like they're readying a spell, but they haven't cast it yet.
Okay. I'm going to cast Counterspell. It's a third level.
Huh. Okay.
Because I don't know what that is, so
here's,
might be bad.
Here's the thing. That's cool. I'm totally going to let you do that. Mm-hmm. But here's the icing on
Beyonce
that.
Beyonce had the best video of all time. All time.
Doldane, you've got your inspiration back.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to take it away again because of the reference, but I'm going to give it back to you again. you have it. Net result is you have inspiration. Thank you. So here's the icing on that cake. Mm-hmm. Counterspell is a reaction. You don't cast that in advance.
Oh.
You cast that when they're doing it.
So
I'm letting you know that they're prepping to cast a spell. They were readying it.
Okay, so I can't cast that yet, is what
when
you're telling
it's their
me.
Turn, have that counterspell go off, definitely.
Okay.
But don't waste this turn on counterspell.
Okay,
you can do
I
something
understand.
Else this turn, too.
Yeah. They're going to do something, and I need to, like... I just see a humanoid? I don't see anything beyond that?
It looks like... At first, it looks like they don't have hands, and then you realize it's because they're wearing bleached white gloves.
Huh. Interesting. Okay.
I have no idea what that means.
Yeah. Not a clue. All right. So I'm going to hit it with Magic Missile as a second level spell just to maybe knock the creature over and maybe throw off whatever spell they're trying to cast.
Okay.
So that's a second level one is a 1d4 plus one.
Not just right. that. Magic Missile, when you cast it at second level... Like, Magic uh-huh. Missile at first level, you shoot three of those.
Okay.
So, and each one of them is 1d4 plus one, so you're right there.
Okay. So I have six? Is that what you're telling me?
Which tab has Meepo's character sheet? Let's
that
find
I don't
out.
Know. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I have to look.
right. It's like, that I cannot tell you.
And pro tip, Magic Missile is not a cantrip, so I'm looking in the wrong spot.
Right.
If you cast
second
it at second level or higher,
yes.
It creates one more dart. So if you cast it second
okay.
level, you will shoot four darts.
Four. Okay. So here's three of them, and a three, and a three. And then the last one is...
I heard two threes. What was the first one?
Four. Four, oh. Three, three. And then the fourth missile was also a three.
Okay. You do 17 points of damage.
All right.
And then it's its turn next. It goes to cast a spell in response to you, and you counterspell it. And the spell they were casting was already going to be under third level, so it fizzles immediately.
All right. Gotcha.
I'm going to roll for anger.
Is it going to rage? Is it a barbarian spellcaster?
No, it is not the rage that makes you more powerful. It's the rage that makes you look flustered and upset.
Okay, good.
And bloodied.
There we go.
Okay. Jen E. says, "This party appears to be injured. I have the fix for this." And it pulls out another wad of gauze with some type of adhesive strip to hold it in place and puts it on Meepo's hat.
Okay.
And pats it and says, there. And it casts Mass Cure Wounds.
Okay.
And that is going to heal...
everybody but Daldane.
Sadly, yes. 24 points.
Wow. Okay. Get that for both of them.
But speaking of Daldane, what would you like to do?
Can we see the spellcaster now?
Oh, you can see them. It's just the fog is obscuring what most about it. You can roll perception to see if you notice more than Meepo noticed.
Okay. I did not.
you don't even see, like, you think they don't have hands because they're wearing white gloves in the fog.
When do I roll to remove the poison?
At the end of this turn.
Okay. That's what I thought. I am going to cast Tasha's Hideous Laughter.
It's a classic. What do I got to roll?
Wisdom at 14.
Remember the plus. That's our third natural 20 of the session.
Wow.
All right.
So unfortunately, the spell doesn't go off. But you may now roll to see if you are no longer poisoned. You are no longer poisoned.
17 will do it.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, we are at the start of the initiative. All the way up at the top with Gox.
Okay, I'm going to go attack the spellcaster that tried to do something to us. So I roll a 20. 14 on the dice.
That's a hit.
Okay, and I'm going to... I roll a d10. I have a 7, and we decided it was, what, plus 6? 5? Something?
Something.
Okay. Yes, that. And then do I get radiant damage because it's the first hit of
yes.
attack?
All
right,
yes,
so do. Radiant damage is 6.
Nice.
Gox is having a good time.
How do you want to do this?
I'm going to take its head off. That's what Gox does. Then you know it's dead, and you don't have to worry about that one getting up and attack.
Okay. So you run up, and with your first attack, you slice right through it. Something weird happens.
Okay.
You notice that the fog seems brighter when you cut its head off. You don't quite understand why. Everyone else in the party knows exactly why. Same luminous dragon wings appearing. But the radiant light sort of just diffuses through the fog, so the fog gets brighter. And the head goes bouncing and rolling to, let's say, Daldane's feet. And you are out of combat.
Okay.
Zili is a little bit unnerved by the whole luminous wing thing and sort of sidles a little bit away.
Gox doesn't even know he has it.
True.
Nobody's told him. He has no idea.
So, Daldane, the head at your feet is very clearly that of an orc. I roll for surprise. No, you're not surprised. There is no surprise here that it's an orc.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Now, the mouth is also open, and you don't see a tongue in there.
No hands and no tongue. That's weird for a spellcaster.
How is it casting spells without that?
You do know that there are some spells that don't require verbal components.
Oh, okay.
And it never actually got to cast a spell.
This is true.
True.
This is true.
Thanks, Meepo.
Yeah. Okay, so what do we see now? Any more enemies lurking in the fog?
You don't see any more enemies lurking in the fog.
Okay.
Well, let's see what he's got on him. I will search the body.
Okay. Give me an investigation check.
That I can do.
You even know what it had for dinner 3 weeks ago by analyzing the crumbs in its pockets. It was rack of lamb, by the way. You're a little concerned that it had that in its pockets from 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
But it had, hold on. It had 9 gold on it, and it had a pouch with various things that you assume are spell components.
Okay, I'll toss those to the spellcasters and let them fight over.
Spell components!
Ooh!
It also had a second pouch that appeared to have various herbs and poultices and medicinal things.
Those I will hang on to.
Okay. You have a medicine kit.
Neat.
Awesome. And again, because so many of the party have a high pass perception, I will not require a roll for this, but you start to notice that Jen E is shaking visibly.
What's the matter? You okay?
This is unexpected. This is This is bad. This is bad. This is bad. This is bad. This is bad.
Jenny?
Jenny falls
Jenny,
over.
What's happening? Zele sort of tries to push Jenny into a less falling over state, but considering Zele's strength score, this might not be working very well.
Most of Gen E's chassis is round, so you can roll Gen E about a bit. Like, you know the toy you can get every now and then called a Mexican jumping beam, where it's basically like a cylindrical pill shape with a marble inside? I'm dating myself. I know I'm dating myself about this.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like that, where you can roll Jenny into various positions. The legs are, at this point, really just for show. There are various compartments and panels and such on Jenny's chassis that are opening and closing. Some of them are vents. Some of them are storage. Some items, like loose change and stuff, are falling out onto the ground when this happens because they weren't meant to be opened when Jenny was reclining. And Jenny... Yes?
Jenny, what's happening?
Jenny looks directly at you and says, "There were Modrons on the city. I do not want to go." And then their eye closes and...
No!
Oh, no!
You are forced back by parts of Jenny, like, expanding and contracting and changing and molding. And Jenny was weird to begin with. But when this is done, and this is where I'm looking for another picture, Jenny ends up looking kind of like this. There are two boxes separated by a pillar, a threaded pillar like that of a very large bolt with some gears. Jenny now has two eyes instead of one. An actual nose, which Jenny did not have before. The mouth is a bit of a different shape. The vestigial wings are gone completely. The arms and legs are still incredibly spindly.
You're not them anymore, are you?
They open their eyes.
I'm laughing at what Ellie has typed.
Oh, come on!
Oh, that's good.
Which I think is the best pun response I can give for what Ellie typed. Oh, I-L33N. Yes. No. I'm not going to yes and this one, though. I'm not going to yes and this one. They open their eyes and look at you. Modron designations do not change during the promotion process. I appear to still be flawed.
Jenny, you're still here. Good. I was worried. A little bit worried.
I am more worried.
Why are you more worried?
Oh, promotion. And Modron.
There are a large but finite number of monodrones. My exile, banishment, sanctuary meant all Modrons were weaker as a unit. But not by much. Now, as a duo drone, there is a more powerful vacancy.
Would you have been promoted if you were supposed to be disassembled or whatever?
Promotion is random.
Oh.
Upon the death of a duo drone, a monodrone is promoted. Upon the death of a monodrone, a new monodrone comes off of the assembly line.
So, you're okay?
Temporarily. As a more powerful Modron, there is more of a need for this position to be filled by a unit that is not malfunctioning and away from the main force. It is far more likely that a search party will be sent for me.
How big is the search party going to be?
This is fascinating. I have never been able to shrug before. I do appreciate this new ability.
Well, we'll deal with that crisis when we've dealt with the current crises. There are maybe 3 or 4 separate crises going on right now.
There are approximately 5,853 crises going on currently within a 5-mile radius, give or take 100.
Well, we can't fix them all, but we'll start with some.
We'll just add this one on to the
flora and fauna, which are currently experiencing the cycle of life.
Right, we'll just stick this crisis on at the end of all the thousands of other crises, then.
I will place it in the queue accordingly. And that's where we're going to end it for today.
Wow.
Okay.
Because we've been recording for 1 hour, 53 minutes, and 46 seconds. So I think that's pretty good.
That's pretty
good.
And
Io's got something else to do in 10 minutes.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah, definitely. Time to leave. Okay, so thank you everyone for playing. Plug your stuff.
Elec.xyz. It's social media.
Elec.xyz.
Oh, sorry. I couldn't process that. Okay, go ahead.
My mom writes books, and you can find them at elizabeth-mccoy.com.
And my website is called Book of Jen at bookofjen.net. It's got a couple of podcasts and a bunch of gaming stuff and a bunch of other stuff.
All right, until next time, have fun.